Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We are committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 2nd of June. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. Whichever way you're listening, through FM radio or through the internet, this programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And of course, talking about podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, which featured the employment law policy proposals from the Conservatives, Labour and the Liberal Democrat parties, how would they affect you? Well, a rundown on those from Jay Bayani, employment lawyer, employment law specialist. Plus, we featured tech skills with Effecto Recruitment. Their MD gave us the lowdown on skills in the city region, and we featured a fashion social enterprise, Learn to Recreate, on the programme last week as well. Now, if you missed that, don't panic. You can catch up with the podcast of last Friday's show from the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. Just go to radio shows and look up Business Live. But who's on today? Well, I'm delighted to welcome a fantastic British hand-printed brand, Ushi, designed for fun, the adventurous, and for those who want to live whilst being comfy. Jilly Capucci and husband Neil are in the studio today, and I'm looking forward to hearing from both of them about how they've developed Ushi Wear, the Ushi story. You're going to hear all about it, plus exciting developments and plans and how they're involved with the Google Digital Garage, which we featured on the show several times before. But before we turn to our guests, let's just have a quick run through of what's going on in business and in social enterprise. And investment in Northern Tech has soared in the 3 months to March 2017, according to Tech North's ongoing investment index. They say that £116.2 million of finance has come into the region. Capital flows have increased 1,303% compared to the equivalent period in 2016. That represents the best first quarter investment period since 2007. Now, that's been dominated by the £83 million funding round of Atom Bank. That was the highest UK tech investment in the month of March. And this capital has been used for both equity and provision of financial services. The investment results have been welcomed. James Bedford of Tech North, he's been a guest on this programme in the past, has summarised that this is a great start to the year for Northern Tech investment. He said it's early days, but 2017 even could be a record year, countering concerns about Brexit and an economic slowdown. Full details, full report, and you can even see a list of all the investments at the Tech North website. Go to technorthhq.com. Marks & Spencer and Power to Change have announced a partnership which they say will help transform local communities. It's going to provide up to £1 million to community businesses, and it will give community businesses access to skills and to mentoring from M&S. It's called Plan A 2025. It's been launched today, and it's an ambitious and customer-focused sustainability plan, according to Marks & Spencer. And it includes a partnership with Power to Change. Power to Change is going to be one of M&S's partners for a commitment, which is a new 10 community pilot. M&S will work with local councils and local charity partners to support communities to deliver positive outcomes. They want to identify needs in different communities and support specifically the growth of community businesses to drive local positive economic change. They say this is going to be achieved through funding, through access to skills, through access to mentoring from MNS staff who provide community businesses with access to business skills in retail, marketing, finance and supply chain. More details are on the website powertochange.org.uk. Find out more there. And if you've had enough of opinion polls, well, I'm really, really sorry because I've got another one for you. But this is one with a bit of a difference. Tapton Golf Course. So golfers at the North Derbyshire Golf Course are being given a unique opportunity to indicate how they might vote. Tapton Golf Course have installed voting target boards at their driving range, representing the political parties, Labour, Conservative, Liberal, Democrat and other. They've done four. Golfers can take aim for the party they'll be voting for ahead of the general election. So you can go down to Tapton Golf Course, get a golf club and hit a ball very, very hard towards a sign of a political party. Matthew Orwin, he's the golf manager at Tapton Golf Course, and he says that the general election is the most talked about topic on everyone's lips at the moment. He said that they thought it would be a great way to drum up some healthy competition, giving golfers something to aim at on the driving range and give them a clearly visible goal on the political party boards. He says it's really taken off, but it's too close to call the overall winner. Well, more details. If you want more details about Tapton Golf Course, just go to siv.org.uk/golf and it's all there. Now don't forget there are a whole number of exciting events coming up aimed at businesses and social enterprises in the region. The Business and IP Centre Sheffield has a number coming up there on Eventbrite. I'll tweet the link out to that when the show ends. Plenty more. I'll be putting details as I normally do at the end of the show on my Twitter account, Jamie Veach. Also worth mentioning, if there's something going on in business and in social enterprise that you want to comment on, if you want to get in touch and talk about topics we've discussed, put yourself forward to be a guest on the programme or put someone else forward or ask us to discuss a particular comment or a particular topic, then get in touch. Just email jamie@sheffieldlive.org or text 07 904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veach, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Because whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. So it's time now to turn to Gilly and Neil, who are in the studio with me, to talk about the business of their, well, the story of their business, British hand-printed brand. I can't get the words out today. Over to Gilly and Neil. Gilly, Neil, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in today. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yes, well, yes.
Excellent, good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, long week.
Yeah, long week indeed. Well, I know, well, for me it's been a long week. It's half term this week. There's lots of revision going on in my house, so I'm told. I'm told revision's being done. You have kids, don't you?
Yeah, the same with us. I'm trying to juggle work and two boys at home. And not an easy task, but I'm getting used to it gradually.
Indeed. Indeed. So for listeners who haven't come across Ushi and Ushi Wear, tell us more about the business.
Well, Ushi Wear originally started as a bit of a hobby. I packed in my job as a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Started doing it part-time in my garage, and then it just grew from there. It was never meant to be a clothing brand. It was just meant to be me doing posters, prints, and the odd T-shirt.
And when was that then, Julie?
About 2008.
Yes.
The original concept came around. And the name Ushi came from a friend with me and a friend in a cafe bar with our children, trying to think of a name for the company. And Helen came up with the idea of Ushi, as in Kapushi.
Yes.
And shortened it because Kapushi was too harsh a word. And that's where that sort of brand took off, really.
So Ushi comes from your surname, but shortened, and it's a brilliant name, isn't it?
Yeah, but we found out in 2009 that Ushi meant ox.
Aha.
And in 2009 was Year of the Ox, apparently, we think, and I'm a Taurian.
Yep.
The logo I tried to draw a bull for a long time, couldn't get it right, And we were at the Grand Design Show down in London, and I found an ethnic ox's head. It's a shaman's headdress. And that's where the image came, and suddenly everything came together.
Oh, it all came together around that.
Yeah, he found me in tears in the corridor, holding this bull's head.
Really?
And suddenly everything, it was quite emotional, actually, because everything just dropped into place, and that was it. It just went from there.
Oh, I bet it was, yeah, absolutely. So, and that head is a prominent part, well, it is your logo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the actual core of the brand,
really prominently all over the designs that you put out.
Absolutely.
So you've been working as a graphic designer, and this had been, you know, you're thinking of this as your hobby initially,
I was trying to get out of one rat race and slow down a little bit, because I've actually got two young boys, and I've sort of plunged myself into this other world, which is like, the best way I can describe it is like trying to hold an octopus down. I get all the tentacles down and then another one pops up, and that's, it's a constant battle.
That's a great description, isn't it? And something that will resonate with people running small businesses as well.
You think you've got it, you think you've got everything there, and then suddenly something will fire up there, and then something else fires up there, and it can be exciting, but it can be really, really exhausting as well.
To wrestle with the multi-tentacled octopus of business.
Yeah, and then I get Neil coming in and saying, have you done that? Have you remembered to put that? What about that? Have you done that? We've got an exhibition this weekend.
Yes, yeah. And so constantly having things going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's going to inspire another question, but I'll park this one for later about the pros and cons of working together, running a business, because it can't always be easy. But let's come on to that in a moment or two, because you've talked about when the business was founded. Let's do a little bit more of the history. How's it been going since then? Because you've been going for a while now. What have been the highs?
There's been plenty of highs, really. The main highs we get is actually when we're at shows, or when people come into the shop and they actually love what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve. Because we're trying to keep the brand focused on everything we try and get is from England or within the UK. So we try not to buy outside the UK.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fabrics we use aren't produced in the UK, as in the actual products themselves, but they're woven here, they're printed here, and we put them together here.
Yes.
And we work on limited editions, so we don't print thousands of a piece. So if you buy one of our T-shirts, we might have only done 200 of that T-shirt.
Yes.
So it keeps it quite, it keeps the brand quite focused on limited edition right throughout. And that's probably the core of what we're trying to achieve, really.
Right, yeah. So I suppose if you were to describe what you do in a nutshell, I really like the description of the brand being designed for the fun, for the adventurous, and for those who want to live whilst being comfy. If someone's listening and they haven't seen the range that you do, do you want to just sort of talk a little bit more about what it is that people can buy?
I mean, basically, it stems from...
I think what it does is it stems from our background.
Yeah.
So both me and Gilly are quite outgoing.
Yes.
We go skiing, we go mountain biking when we can, we go kayaking. We're sort of like outdoor adventurous type people.
Yeah.
And I think that is, to some degree, is what the brand is about. I mean, Julie probably could explain it better than me, but that, I think that's where the value of what we're trying to do and impress to people is that it's, like you say, it's fun, adventurous clothing for people who are like-minded.
But it's not sport. It's not sportswear.
No.
It's what we class as, if you've been skiing all day, you don't want to put a shirt on, you want to keep quite cool, it's a good look. You might throw the pair of jogging bottoms on with a sweatshirt, but it's also, you could go out in it. It can cross over the borders. It's something you would wear to go out in as well. So it's not just about sportswear. It's just about a general feel.
Yes.
It's quite difficult to get that across.
Yeah. As well. Very comfortable.
But it's on trend as well, which is, we've got a lot of, our main market we're finding now is 14-year-old boys upwards.
That's
which we never expected. And that's been fantastic. And it's young boys that are wanting to wear it. Girls wear it as well.
Yes.
But we found that our niche, and the men's market is quite good because men are quite loyal.
Right, that's
whereas
interesting.
Women are not as loyal to brands. I know I'm not. You know, I can pick one brand and then another, whereas men tend to lock into something.
Yes.
And stick with it.
How interesting.
That's just something we've learned going along. Yeah. I'm not saying that's with every brand.
No, but that's something that you've learned and it applies to you.
If you get
yeah.
the young boys early into a brand, you look at Adidas, you look at Hype, you look at Superdry, you look at all those brands.
Yes.
And a lot of them started off as a young, you know, young people wearing it.
Right. That's amazing. And I was taken also by the fact that your sons have been product testers as well. You describe on your website about how they test items to the extreme as they bike or kayak through their youth.
It wasn't to their... Initially, they didn't like doing it, did they? They hated wearing it, and now they wear it all the time. Yeah. So that's quite good.
And the thing is, we don't... Because it's us, it's not like we want them to make them to wear it. We want them to be comfortable that they can wear it. They don't have to wear it, you know. But,
of course.
You know, and it's,
they wear other brands as well.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, we all do, but... I think Jill's right. It's, we're trying to capture a market, I think, just by accident. We've caught that sort of, like, that marketplace for young people that grow into a brand, which has really helped us and really taken us forward.
Yes, quite, absolutely.
But we've got a young team behind us. We've got Tom, we've taken on board, who's is really into fashion, and he did fashion at college.
And is he a designer?
He's a bit of everything, right. Which is quite good. Yeah. He's on trend with what he likes to do. He's really interested in designing clothes and making clothes and looking at what's out there right now. And then we've brought Sarah on board, who she's from fashion college, but she can cut patterns as well, so she understands pattern making, which is fantastic for us.
Yes.
And then we've got a lady, Michelle, she's actually working now. She's out with our machinist. She puts things together for us. We've got Chrissy, who's a photographer, who works part-time for us. And then another lady called Patricia, who does all our event organising. So we've created a team behind us. We're all aiming for the same...
Yeah,
girls, which is quite nice. We're all pretty like-minded. Our studio, I think, as a film internship, it's a bit googly. We're a bit mad. It's not like a normal workplace.
Right.
It isn't like coming into work.
So you've fostered a culture that reflects both of your personalities and attracts people who enjoy the atmosphere that you create, the culture.
Absolutely,
that you
people will come to work. Absolutely, coming. We're currently we're renting a mill at the moment because our workshop's been.
Yeah. So just at the moment. So one of the things that part of where we're trying to get at the moment is we've just bought the current premises that we're at.
Yes.
So we're just going through a process of refurbishment.
And that's in West Yorkshire.
Yeah. Murfield. And we're supporting the local community by being there. And everybody who works with us is all local to where we are.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Keep it local within sort of like the Murfield, Huddersfield area.
And then that reflects your proud to be British branding as well terms of the designs and so on.
I think that's really important. I think we've found certainly in the last few years a good sense of people want to buy British again.
Yes.
People want to really buy good quality products, you know. There's other markets out there, but we're not interested in that. We're more interested about the people who love what we buy.
Well,
when people
yeah.
come in, it's really interesting to listen to your customers, because they're the ones that the people that you need to listen to.
Yes.
It's important that, you know, you listen to them. And we get some really good reviews.
You get some good feedback as well. Have you tried, the pockets are a bit shallow. Could you put zips on them? Because we can, like that.
Yes.
Turn it round and do prototyping. And
so you can prototype in your premises and manufacture.
Yeah.
And come up with amendments and adjustments to designs and so on.
Absolutely. I'll give you a good classic example was we had a lady who was in Lincolnshire rung up, and this was last Christmas, and she said, oh, my son's a ballet dancer in Germany.
Yes.
But he's got rather long legs and he likes your joggers, loves them, whatever. And I said, well, it's not a problem. We can just make some extra long joggers for him. She says, really? And
That's
I went, yeah, of course we did. So we did. So we made some joggers for her son, especially for him. That were extra long.
Fantastic. They must have been absolutely over the moon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was filled to bits.
Yeah.
It was really good. But that's the sort of kind of thing that you can bespoke stuff.
Yes.
That a lot of, you know, other brands cannot do.
Well, it's A, it's bespoke. B, it's comfortable and stylish, as you say. But C, you're then creating and supporting local economy by creating jobs there. And a lot of people are concerned about the international fashion brands and how they, some of them may be using sweatshops overseas as well, and really exploiting children and young people. And with your supply chain, you can presumably just stand up and say, well, look, we're a British brand, and no one's being exploited, no one's being sort of doing 18-hour days and being paid 5p a day to make our clothing. So
absolutely, that's absolutely right. But it makes our products a little bit more expensive. That's the biggest downside. But we found the people that hook onto the brand don't even often ask us how much it is.
No. Well, I can see that. Funnily enough, last night an email popped into my inbox from Howies, which is a British brand.
They're a clothing skateboardy brand.
Yeah, clothing and cycling, really.
It's more biking wear, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. In Wales. And they've
we've been to their shop.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. And they've been going now for 22 years. And again, the whole ethos of made in the UK and made without exploitation will appeal to some of their customers. Other customers are buying for reasons of functionality and design primarily, and so on. And it made me think, well, despite the high street giants, I think independents are booming. And we've covered some stats here on this show recently about actually on the high street, independents are opening more shops than their clothing, whereas big chains are closing more shops than they're opening. Yeah. But we digress anyway into interesting avenues. Ushi, you sell online, of course, and you have a website. But
yes, we do.
You sell physically face-to-face in the shop.
We do, yeah. So we've got three sort of distribution channels. We've got our website, we do events, so we do quite a lot of events. And then we've got our own store that we're currently refurbishing at the moment. So they're the three outlets. And we're looking to expand that into, hopefully, into independent retailers, which is what you've been talking about. So we can get people to start selling our products in their own stores and get the benefit of that. And also for us as well, because it means we can grow the business then more. It means we can employ more people and create a bigger business than what we've got now.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you actually intend to do that in a moment or two. I thought we'd take a break for a quick track of music, and this is one that's been chosen by you both. This is DJ Jazzy Jeff and the friend Fresh Prince, i.e. Will Smith. Summertime. And we'll be back to Gillian and Neil in a moment.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme. We're on every Friday from 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. So if you've just tuned in and this is your first time listening to Business Live, where have you been? Anyway, stick with us. You might even get to be on the show yourself, because we're always looking for interesting businesses and social enterprises to feature on the programme. Talk about your successes and how you've overcome the challenges that you have. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org or text 07904 272 200. In the studio with me today, Gilly and Neil, who are talking about British hand-printed clothing brand Ushiwear. So Gilly Kapushi, and with the support of her husband Neil, founded Ushi, designed for people who are fun, who are adventurous, and who want to live whilst being comfy. Founded in 2008, initially as a hobby, and Gilly, with her background in working in a blue chip design agency, and Neil have grown the business. It's looking really, really impressive, and they have exciting, ambitious plans ahead, as Neil was telling us just before we took the music break. Now, how are figures looking? Are you successful? Have you increased sales over the last year?
Yeah, I would say that initially it was quite hard work. It was difficult to get people to buy into what we're trying to do. We spent a considerable amount of time building awareness around the brand, using social media, marketing initiatives and whatever. And I would say that our turnover over the last sort of 3 years has quite significantly grown, particularly in our, on our website. We've probably seen a fourfold increase in sales.
Fourfold increase in sales.
I mean, and we'll talk about that shortly, the digital garage. But for us, it was a difficult time. You know, when you first start out, it's not easy. You think you've got something, and you're just there. And you just think, oh well, why isn't people buying it?
Mm.
And it takes time. It takes people to buy into what you're trying to do, and that's really important. And we've taken a considerable amount of time to get to that, and we're still investing. So any profits we make, we reinvest back into the business, and we're doing that. We're fortunate in the last sort of 12 months that we got some government funding.
Yeah.
So we got £36,000 worth of grant funding from the Textile Growth Fund, which is a Manchester-based funding arrangement, to secure funding for that for us to help us build our manufacturing capability.
Right.
So which was really important for us, and that's not easy again. You know, it's to get grant funding. You know, you have to show the ability for you as a business to grow and to support that by employing people. And doing the right things.
And how's that organisation been to work with as a funder? You know, do they provide you with other support as, aside from the money? Have they helped in other ways?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. You get other things as well. You know, so some of the marketing aspects or other grant available assistance, they help you to be able to seek that, to get that. And so locally as well with Kirklees. Kirklees do certain grant funding as well, so we're utilising that ability as well. So because I think we're local, we're in Kirklees as well, and we're in West Yorkshire.
Yeah.
I mean, just consider it, like, we're still a small growing brand. There's 6.5 million people in Yorkshire still don't know about us.
Mm,
and that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to show people who we are and what we are.
Yes.
You know, we've got a huge backyard. Yorkshire's a massive county.
And talking about Yorkshire, it's taken us quite a while to get to the Yorkshire show.
Has it? Right.
Yeah, and then this year we're actually there.
So that's
going to be really exciting for us, because that's a massive showcase.
Yes.
For us to talk about the brand and what we're about and what we're doing, and we're actually in the thick of it. I mean, the Yorkshire's the biggest show probably outside London, isn't it? It's huge.
Yes.
So that's quite exciting.
Right, so that's wonderful. And have you got something specific planned for your stall at the Yorkshire show?
I think what we're going to do is we've got a lovely big trailer that we've just decked out like a mobile shop. And the plan for that is just to showcase some of the things we're making. Not all of that will be for sale, because we're still in production with it, but we can showcase, get feedback from that. But we'll have a lot of other things that are for sale, like the hoodies, T-shirts, where everything's going to be there.
Yes.
There'll be leaflets to hand out, brochures and things like that. So it's more of a general awareness campaign, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
quite.
Hopefully we'll sell quite a lot.
Yes, great.
But that's the plan, to just let people know who we are.
Yeah, excellent. And it's taken a while to get to the show. Because
they've got to look at you. We could have gone 4 years ago and not been around the next year. You have to prove longevity.
Yes.
And we're finding, like Neil said, the more we're around, people thinking, oh.
Yeah.
And more people have been ringing me, where's the shop gone? Why aren't you in the shop?
Yes.
So we're not around the corner, we're just in the mill at the moment. But you're welcome to come down.
Well, this is great, though, isn't it? Mm. People appreciate this community-rooted element of your business as well. Mm. And that's community locally in Merfield, and it's community within Yorkshire. You've had to prove your sort of longevity and sustainability to be featured at the Yorkshire show, but now you're there, and you can really make the most of it, can't you? Yeah.
It's quite exciting, but it's also quite nerve-wracking at the same time,
because
you're hoping that people are going to, you know, lock into it and like what we do.
Yeah.
You never know, everyone's different, but the general feedback from the other shows we've had, they've been quite positive, haven't they?
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
And so you've talked about a fourfold increase in, say, web sales, for example. Absolutely brilliant. And has that gone alongside an increase in physical sales through the face-to-face channels, i.e. in the shop and through the shows that you go to, the other shows?
Yes, it has, and it's helped our web presence as well.
Yeah.
And I would say for us it was really important to have a really good website. And the importance of that being your flagship, other than having your store. It's our second place where we get sales.
Yes.
Effectively, not just in the UK, but we've sold abroad as well.
Worldwide sales,
absolutely, yeah. Which has been really good for us and really phenomenal for us.
Yeah.
And going to the point about the digital garage, you know, when we were originally the current website, we took advice from them guys, you know, at the very early stages of it. Just to make sure the look of it was right, you know, and we use their sort of their skills from their analytics and things like that you can use to understand your website traffic and that kind of thing. And that's where when we engaged with Digital Garage back in 2016, you know, in Leeds, they were in Leeds 2015, and we've been working with Google Digital Garage as well on a number of their events. So I spent some time working with them. I went to the opening in the Glasgow event. Both me and Jill have been to Newcastle as well.
Yeah.
And of course, we've just recently been helping them launch the Digital Garage in Sheffield.
That's right. So Google Digital Garage launched last month in Sheffield, and we're here for 6 months at least at Barker's Pool. Free advice, digital marketing and analytics and so on. Now, it's great for the Google Sheffield Digital Garage to be able to showcase you, because, as you say, you've already worked with Google elsewhere, and you can talk about your experience as a business. In fact, I think after this radio interview, you're heading up to the Google Digital Garage today, aren't you?
Yeah. Sheffield?
Yes, we are. Yes, yeah, because we're working on, and you'll probably talk about it more than I am, we're working on another website, a better website.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like it's a learning curve, isn't it? It's learning steps, and you get better to where you are. So
yeah, it's a bit, what we've done is simplify the website. I designed the original website, not the back end, just the look of it.
Right,
and then we tweaked it, and I've never been 100% happy with it.
Right.
And the one we've got now, it works, it functions, but it's not showcasing how we want people to see us.
No.
So with working with the Google Garage, it's given us a little bit of insight into what we can do better.
Yeah.
So we're working with a design company in Leeds now that are doing the website. So we're working really... In fact, this afternoon when I get back, we've got to look at the original pages that we've got and find out... Bring it all together now. It's all coming together. The next step is the photography.
Yes,
so
I
then
see.
We'll be launching a brand new website in the next couple of months alongside a brand new shop and a brand new product, so it's all exciting.
Yes.
But it's all coming together at the same time, which is a bit stressful.
So you've got a lot of elements there, from design, but particularly also user experience. For e-commerce businesses, that's crucial, isn't it, as well?
It is. I think
checkout abandonment and preventing that.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that we learned with Digital Garage, about all that kind of things, you know, like your page views and your bounce rates.
Yes.
Because they were the things we didn't really understand.
Our bounce rates were phenomenal, though, after we'd spoken to Google Garage.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, we were running at 65% down to less than 10%. Bounce rate.
So you've had a hugely dramatic change there.
Absolutely.
That's
it's just, and the thing is because the way that we developed it, and again, it's an ever growing development you do of your website, is these are the things you never think about.
No.
You
indeed.
Know, you just think, oh, I'll just put a website up and it'll work, and everybody just goes to it, and it doesn't.
We sat there waiting for orders to come in. See, no, we did.
Yeah.
The first ever website, and we got one order in a week, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like,
now we get orders every day.
Yes.
It's completely different.
And so, how have you refined the website, say, to reduce the bounce rate? What have you done that's changed the user journey and user experience?
It's more interface. It's easier to use on a mobile.
Yeah.
It's easier to use on a tablet. It's easier to use across every medium that you're going to use.
Right, yeah.
And it's simpler to navigate. So if you like something, you click on it and you can put it straight in your basket.
Yes.
Whereas we made it overcomplicated. We've dropped videos, except for the videos that were linked to what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we don't have any... It's quite static, as in the video side of it, isn't it? We've kept it simple, so it doesn't slow it down, because a lot of people don't have the same equipment.
No.
So the simpler you keep the website, the more people are likely to stay on that website.
Yeah,
because like the company that we're working with, so the company called Elementary Digital, are the company that are helping us build the website, they say it's really important because that first few seconds that somebody comes to your website is really important.
Yeah, about deciding whether to
venture into your website or not. You know, that's that bounce rate bit.
Mm.
And that's where people click on and go, oh, yeah, I like that. I'll venture in and have a look around. And that's what we found. People were browsing the website more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important to us because we realised that people liked what we were doing, you know, clicking in and clicking through.
And then they're more likely to end up as buyers. Person. Yeah.
And they might not buy a first time round. We've noted that. You know, they might come and have a look and then they might come back later. Buy something. So,
and so, do you use techniques that some e-commerce businesses use, like remarketing to people who have looked at your website, so that they're shown an ad elsewhere afterwards, or do you use email newsletter signups?
It's usually email and signups that we use a lot of. So, I think it's really important if you want to grow your database, is emails are really important to get.
Yeah.
So at events, we make it really key that when people come by the products, we get the details, we can add them to our database, then we keep them informed about events and news.
We're trying to work something into the website that if you're a first-time buyer, another company used to do that, that I used to buy off years ago, where if you're loyal and they will have a sale, you get the secret email saying that there's a sale going up in next week. You've got the first dibs on what you want to buy off the website in the sale, which I think keeps your loyalty to your early customers.
So rewarding that loyalty.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it'd go live to everybody then.
Yeah.
But I think that's quite a nice way of... It makes your customers feel a bit special.
Yes.
Which they are.
Yeah.
But I used to always follow that track when I used to buy a long time ago from a company. And I always got the emails in first, so I'd buy them first. So I got my size, because obviously when it goes out...
Yes, quite.
It's often difficult to get your own size, isn't it?
So, yeah, it can be, can't it? So presumably also that sort of observation of what works for you as consumers helps inform the design, the user journey that you're trying to build as well.
But it's also the way we package things, isn't it? When something goes out, it goes out in a lovely box tissue. Yes. It goes out so when you get it, it's a treat.
Yeah.
And it's got a little letter in there. It's just like you say, the journey is really, really important. It just doesn't arrive in a plastic bag. It arrives...
Right, it arrives and it looks great, so people can enjoy the process of unwrapping it, unboxing it, in modern parlance, and so on. Great.
All on recycled. It's all recycled what we use.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So that fits with the ethos of the brand as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff. So how else will the Digital Garage help your business?
Well, the thing is, like I say, is we're going there after here, so we're going to be showing them what our new website looks like.
Yes.
Again, getting advice from them about, you know, how that's structured. Do we need to make tweaks or modifications to it? And again, you know, it's like I say, it's free advice.
Yeah.
You know, it's for anybody. Anybody can just walk in and get the advice. You know, don't just simply just take... a website, you know, building your own website from a company or just these that are off the shelf. It's got to be really important that, you know, that the expertise is out there and Digital Garage are offering that for free.
Yeah. This is a really powerful endorsement of the fact that expertise is there and you should go and use it if you're running a business in the region. Go and access
it. Yeah, absolutely. I also think it's not to be blinkered. I found that because it's my baby originally.
Yes.
You don't want people's input. You want it. You've got this focus. And you've got this channel to keep it your way.
Yeah.
And I'm gradually letting go. And if you ask Tom that, he'll especially realise that. No, we're not doing that. I don't like that. We're doing like this. And I'm gradually letting go, aren't I? Mm. He's got more involvement with the look of the clothes.
Yes.
And that's quite difficult. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is just let people in a little bit.
Right. That's a really good one for entrepreneurs and business owners.
It's tough. It's not easy to do. You ask Tom, but I've had battles with Tom, haven't I? And Neil as well. You've got to sometimes let go of the reins a little bit and just let other things seep in.
Yes.
Because other things grow from it, which is really often better anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? We can all see that when we look at other businesses. And a case in point, I suppose, is the sweary chef, Gordon Ramsay, goes off to America and does his Kitchen Nightmares program, where he tells people who have asked for his help in turning their restaurants round, and he comes in and helps them. And he will often then say, well, you're doing this wrong. And they'll get really, really defensive about it. And obviously it's made for TV, and perhaps it's more over-dramatised than it should be. But you kind of think, well, you're a business owner, you've asked for his advice, and now you're getting really defensive on it and telling him you don't want to hear it. But that shows, actually, you know, if you watch it, it can be funny, but it shows how hard it can be for business owners to let go, as you say, Gilly.
That's the biggest thing I've learned through working. I mean, we've had our own business for a long time on the Design Shed, which was a, you know, like I said, graphic design marketing company.
Yes.
And that was a bit different. This is our own baby. I'm not working for anybody else. Yeah. It's ours. You know, there's no one telling me what I have to do.
Yeah.
And that's the difficult bit, is like I say, letting go. That's the biggest piece of advice. Yeah.
And trust, presumably.
Yeah. Your gosh, there's a lot of trust.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trust involved, especially in a small company. You've got to rely on your people you've got to make sure the people that you're leaving behind when we're not there,
yes,
are going to do. It's a big trust that they're going to do what.
Yeah.
Manage your business when you're away.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Gosh. Well, any other lessons then for business owners listening to this? Any challenges you've faced?
I think the challenges we have is both me and Jill are married.
Yes.
challenges of that is when you're running a business, and we really took steps to make sure that Jill sticks with all the creative side. She does all the design stuff. I do all the commercial stuff.
Right.
So we don't stay into another's camps. Occasionally we do, but, you know, that's healthy. But I think it was just important, wasn't it, just to have the ground rules to make sure. It doesn't always go right.
We've tried as well. When we first set the business, we talked about it all the time with everybody, all the time.
Yeah.
Our best friends and everything. And we just said one day, we need to stop doing this.
Yes.
Because it's not their business, they're not in it. And someone thinks, oh God, they're talking about that again. So I'm hoping with our friends now, they realise we have, if they ask us, we'll talk about it. Or if something new's happening, we'll mention it. But we try not to as much as we can now. When we go out,
detach the two.
So that you're able to
That was a big learning curve. Because you've got to understand, it's not their business. They're interested in what you're doing, but they're not necessarily want to be immersed in it.
And your life outside of the business is important as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really important as well.
Yeah, especially when your kids say, Mum and Dad, all your life at the moment is us you were.
Yeah.
And that made us take a step back and think, they're right. We need to pull back a little bit from what we do.
Yes.
And say no to some things.
Yeah, that's true.
So although you have sort of your delineated areas in terms of creative and commercial over the business, when you're making a really, really important business decision, say, I don't know, whether to apply for the £65,000 grant, for example, and whether the terms that they're offering are appropriate, how do you approach the process of getting agreement between you so that it...
I think what's important is when we're going for the grant is that
we're both involved
of us,
in it.
Both involved from the start. Yeah. So, you know, when we had John McSweeney, who was the guy who introduced us to it, we had the meetings with him together. So we understood what we needed to do and what else. But then when we got into the detail of the figures and blah, 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 Jill steps back because that's my
trust. You've got to trust each other at the end of the day.
Yes.
So and that's what we did. So the journey we go on, and then we go off into different directions depending on what is it we need to do.
Yeah. We do clash occasionally. I'm quite hot-headed, and I do need reining in sometimes because I can sit and say, stop talking about those ideas because they just fly off.
Right.
You'll ask any of my work colleagues, they'll say I do that.
You're flying off with
on tangents, different ideas, and I have to and I find that exhausting.
Right.
Because I can't switch it off. I don't know how to switch it off.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is overwhelming when you're in bed at night and I'm getting up to draw something or I've had this idea or Yes. Any creative person will understand that.
Yes, most definitely.
It can be a nightmare to live with, I'm sure.
I'm not commenting.
No comment, Neil. But then presumably those are complementary skill sets, and the business success is because of your complementary skills.
Yeah, if we're both like me, I think...
I think we'd be divorced now.
So people listening can take a look at the website, of course, and as you've explained, there are plans afoot as well. Yeah. Lots of developments coming, but people can follow you on Twitter, they can look at the website, go and visit you, of course, in West Yorkshire as well.
Yep.
Should we give out some details?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Facebook.
Yep.
So it's just, if you just go to Facebook and look at Ushiware, you can follow us that way.
Yep.
You can follow us on Twitter. So we've got @Ushiware on our Twitter handle. And then we've got a website, which is www.ushiware.co.uk.
Super duper.
Yeah.
So. It's quite easy to find, actually, if you just put Ushiware in, because it's an unusual name. It's quite high up in the... It's quite high up in the rankings. It comes up straight away, so...
Well chosen, yeah.
We're not
I know hard to find. Yeah, that's interesting, because just to quickly talk about that is the phenomenal amount of emails you get from people telling you how you want to be ranked on Google first page. And it's like, it's not a problem. It's an unusual name. It gets on the first page most of the time. Yes. So we're quite fortunate and lucky with that.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for joining me, Gilly and Neil, talking about Ushiware. And I better let you get up to the Google Digital Garage, but it's been fascinating.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thanks very much for coming in today. We're going to play a bit of music. I'm going to choose a short track, actually, so that I can just make a couple of announcements before the show ends. So I'm just going to play a little bit of Enya. This is Miss Claire Remembers.
We're open for Business Live.
You listen to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and SheffieldLive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly business and social enterprise programme. We're always interested in hearing from you. We've been talking today with Gilly and Neil from British hand-printed clothing brand Ushi. Ushiware, designed for the fun, the adventurous and those who want to live whilst being comfy. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed the interview, then panic not. The podcast of today's programme will be on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. Go to SheffieldLive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live and find today's programme there from about 11 a.m. We're on air every Friday, 9 through to 10. And if you want to be on the programme, you can get in touch. All you need to do is email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, or send a text to 07904 272 200. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your business or social enterprise, and what perspective you want to offer. We'd love to hear from you. What have you been reading this week? I've been reading Tim Harford's book, Messy. He's the undercover economist, known for his behavioural economics column in the Financial Times and on his website, and as a presenter on Radio 4's More or Less programme. But he's written a brilliant book called Messy, wide-ranging, and explores the benefits of collaboration and much, much more in business and in life. Well worth reading. Haven't quite finished it. I'm really, really enjoying. Another book that I recommend that I read recently is Tom Standage's book, A History of the World in Six Glasses. Now, this is amazing. And you might think, well, what has this got to do with business? Well, throughout human history, certain drinks have done much, much more to quench our thirst. They've been used even as currencies, as well as for artistic inspiration or as sources of philosophical inspiration, political symbols, and in religious rites. And Tom Standage's book goes into the details of coffee, of wine, of whiskey, of beer, and much, much more. It's well worth a read. Read it and look at it with a business hat on, or just for fun and pleasure. Now, what are you reading? What inspires you? What's helped you in your business or social enterprise? I'm really interested in your book of the week recommendations. So get in touch with me. Tell me what books you've been looking at, what books you've enjoyed, and I'd love to get you on the programme to talk about them. Now, We'll be back on air next Friday, 9 through to 10. Don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk, with Sam and the crew. That'll be a brilliant show as ever, 10 through to noon. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to play out with a little bit of track of music from Carly Simon. Thanks a lot for listening today. Thanks to my guests, and thanks to Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer. This is Coming Around Again.
We're open for Business Live.